KVON's Wine Country Live now taking a look at the Napa Lighted Art Festival. And we have a whole bevy of guests here in studio. It's the most people I think I've had on the air at one time. So we're going to go around the room, find out who everybody is. Sir, sign in, please.
Good morning. I'm Pete Hangen.
Pete, okay. Thanks for being here. Next.
And I'm Katrina Gregory.
Pete and Katrina. Oh, hi. I know you.
I'm Meredith Navard.
Okay, Meredith.
Hi, Ross Ashton here.
Ross, I think we met last year, it feels like. Okay.
Yep, and Karen Monid, and we met last year
as well. Okay, very good. All right, it's all becoming clear to me. Meredith, right? Why don't you get us started? You're with the city's Parks and Rec Department. So tell us, what is the Lighted Art Festival, first of all?
Great. This is the third annual Lighted Arts Festival here in Napa. We have 13 artists showing, many local artists as well as international artists, with mapping projection, lighted sculptures, and even lasers coming this year. We also have the Night Bloom and Lantern Parade. Everyone can go on to donapa.com/lights and check out the whole offering that we offer this year. It starts on January 11th and goes through January 19th.
Okay, very good. Katrina, jump in here. What's the whole idea behind this?
You know, we're just trying to bring a really interesting, innovative concept here to Napa. And 3 years ago, we researched a lot of different ideas around the world, actually. Excuse me. And we met Ross and Karen and brought this art form here to Napa. And the idea is really just to have this walkable art experience that could be done in January, which is not a really popular time of year to have an outdoor festival. But we found a way to make it exciting and still doable if there is a slight chance of rain. It's, you can get an umbrella and still walk around and see all these beautiful art forms and really have this interactive experience as well. Families can come down, and there's laser display that Meredith mentioned that that children and all ages can be interacting with and having a really good fun time.
Mm-hmm. The chance of rain that I was talking about, is they're getting so specific. The Weather Service forecast here for tonight literally says slight chance of rain between 11 p.m. and midnight. How's that for zooming in? Very detailed. Let's talk with Ross and Karen here for a moment. Now, this is, you know, it seems like a new thing, but it's actually been around for quite a while now, the projection of light onto structures.
Yeah, we've been working like this for over 20 years, but I mean, we didn't invent this way of working, but it's a very exciting way of taking a building which you walk past every day and really reconnecting you with it by changing it completely into something fantastical and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And obviously we're doing that across several buildings in the downtown area, some of the historic buildings like the Presbyterian Church and the courthouse, and we think it's a fantastic way for people to re-engage with their city.
Mm-hmm. And it makes you look at things that you maybe are forgetting to pay attention to. Is that part of it?
I think also for people who, I mean, this happens everywhere we go, because obviously Ross and I do work with a number of festivals around the world. And the one thing that seems to be common to all of them is that, as Ross says, the ability to reconnect with your own city, with your own home, and to see it through different eyes, you know, not the eyes that you, not the ones that you go past every single day, but also to see it at night, you know, to actually come out. Because a lot of places, you know, they might be very quiet at night and no one really goes into them. Again, this is very common in many places. And to turn an entire city, the whole of downtown Napa, into a modern art gallery, but one which has art that really speaks to people and that really lets them express who they are as well. You know, there's a lantern parade that's part of it. So it's not just about bringing in international artists who work with, you know, really cutting edge digital media. You can come and you can see all that for free. You know, this is a completely open experience. And you can come to that, but then you can also create your own pieces as well. You know, you can create your own light art and become part of the lantern parade. So it's a really, really open festival, and we've worked very hard to make sure that everybody can be included in this.
And as you were saying earlier, there's no charge for this. It's not a specific time, right? I mean, I suppose it all looks better at night. obviously.
On the weekends, it's 6 to 10.
Yeah.
And so Friday through Sunday, 6 to 10. And then Monday through Thursday, it's 6 to 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm. And we often get the question, well, why don't you do this in the summertime? And I'd like to remind people, it doesn't get dark till about 9:30, and that's way past my bedtime.
And what's your direct connection to this?
So Katrina and I are the kind of co-creators of this experience, for better or for worse. And so we kind of have divvied up the responsibilities between she and I, and then we brought Meredith on. So we all have different aspects. This week you'll see me running around getting equipment into those pods you see all over town.
He's the logistics extraordinaire, gotcha, as well as MacGyver for most days.
So talk about the technology of this a little bit. I'd like to understand more of how this works.
Sure. Well, so some of the what you see, especially on the historic buildings, we worked with an architectural firm. They came out and did a 3D laser scan of the building. That creates a wireframe file that we can ship off to the artist. The artist can then create a piece around that wireframe, so every little nook and cranny, every little nuance of the building gets incorporated in the artwork. That's part of the thing that's interesting about this. It's sort of a once and done. You'll see it on the Goodman Library, and you'll never see it again anywhere else. So that's a good reason not to miss it, because it's only here one time. The projectors, you know, you have what you would use in a boardroom, might be a 7,000 lumen projector. These are like 30,000 or, you know, 20,000, 30,000. And I think those are the two we're using this year. I don't think we're using anything less than that. So a lot of bright lights. And then some buildings, we're using multiple projectors. So the church gets two 20K projectors.
Yeah.
And then we'll be using two over at the Napa Square building as well. And then where you're using those two projectors, there has to be a way to merge the images so that it's seamless. And they can do that through software and a lot of tweaking. And Ross and Karen are nervously looking at me, get it right, Pete.
It is pretty fascinating, and you know, I work in theaters, my other job, and the whole projected image thing has been revolutionary in theater.
Yeah.
They have degrees in theater studies now just in projection work. Is this similar?
Yes. I mean, I started in theater. So back in the day, quite a long time ago, over 25 years and counting, I actually started in West End Theater. So, you know, right at the top. And they were bringing over prototype projectors from France that had never been seen in the UK before. So I had to learn how to program them. It was all in French. So it's software and it's in French and it's early computers. So you can imagine. It was a quite steep learning curve. So I got through that really quickly. But I thought, this is fantastic, you know, to be able to express something not just in projection, but the beauty of architectural projection for me is that it's at scale. It's not small. It's really big. And as Pete was saying, one of the great things about this festival is that it commissions work. It commissions new work. So it keeps art alive. It's keeping projection developing. You know, the festival's now feeding into the digital art world and how that's working with large format projection that came out of theatre and came out of the chateaus of France. And, you know, for those kind of uses. But the pieces you're going to see here, you will only see here because it's that interaction with that building, and they're specifically commissioned for Napa. You have to come to Napa to see this because you're not going to see it anywhere else.
You mentioned chateaus in France. So
yes.
The technology that you started working with was developed in order to do this in France in a similar way to project onto buildings?
That's correct, yes. Yeah, the French actually invented Sony Lumière, is what it's called, you know, sound and light. And it was part of encouraging people to visit chateaus in France in the 1950s.
Okay.
So it kind of came out of doing sound and light shows, performances to connect people with the locations, to connect people with the history of each individual building. And now, of course, you know, France has been ahead of everybody in these kind of developments. And so, yeah, and it's become a global phenomenon. And it's fantastic that Napa is really plugged into this, creating an international art festival that plugs into this. It's a growing thing, and it's still growing.
That's interesting.
Mm.
Very good. Who wants to take us through, like, how it all happens in terms of the schedule? I know it's starting on the 11th. Is that correct? Is that the first, Katrina?
Yes, it starts at Saturday on the 11th at 6 p.m. And then we'll go through nine straight nights. Every night downtown, there's 13 different locations. The night bloom, which is the hot air balloons that are lighted up at night, only will occur on Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. It's only about an hour-long show because you can't have the hot air balloons with the gas and whatnot for longer than that. It gets the envelope too hot. So be sure to go if you want to see that for just during that window of 7 to 8 p.m. And then we have the lantern parade that Friday at 6:30, the 17th, and that'll start at Veterans Park. And we'll do a short loop around downtown, about a 20-minute or so procession. And then we'll have the last weekend as well. And then I'm going to have Meredith talk about some other experiences like the artist meet and greets and whatnot.
Jump in.
Yeah, great. So you can go on Eventbrite and type in Napa Light. And this year we're offering six artist meet and greets, which is an awesome opportunity to meet these international artists that are traveling, as long as the New Tech High School is presenting on the AT&T building. Ross and Karen mentored them this year again. And they'll be doing their presentation at City Hall on the 18th. So that's, again, a great opportunity. That's another once-in-a-lifetime chance to meet these international artists one-on-one. Those are free. And again, go to eventbrite.com and type in Napa Light, and you can see all of the different offerings with the artist meet and greets.
Okay. And?
All right. And we do have some historic building tours. As we mentioned, these great artworks happen on five historic buildings. And so the Historical Society will be doing some tours during the day to talk about the history of the building. So it's kind of a neat bridge to get the history and see it in daylight and then come back and see it at night. Those you do have to sign up for, and there is a small fee for those, and it helps support their organization and their work.
Very good. And what's our web resource to get all this info when we need it?
DoNapa.com/lights.
Okay, that's easy. DoNapa.com/lights. I've seen, of course, at Christmas time, people have the consumer version of this, right? And one of my friends had that projected on her house. When will we have the capability for the home user to do some really cooler things like this?
Well, depending on scale, you could do that right now. The projection doesn't need to be the size of the courthouse. We've used smaller projectors onto smaller areas of buildings or inside rooms onto architectural detail inside a room. There are stuff you can download off the web to be able to create your own kind of installations. Mm-hmm. And in fact, as a festival, Meredith was saying, we are supporting the New Tech School to produce artworks which we're going to be projecting onto the AT&T building. Mm-hmm. And last year they blew us away. They created something for the Native Sons building, and we were mentoring them via the internet, talking to them over the year and what they were creating. And something about having a deadline and producing something on that scale really brought out the best in what they were capable of, and we're really expecting something really special this year as well. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Be great.
What would one of those 20 or 30,000 lumen projectors set me back?
It's a small mortgage on your house.
I was going to project this on my house, but I lost my house trying to buy the projector.
We also need to mention, too, there are some sculptures that we'll have down on the 5th Street Promenade. And at the CIA, the Angels of Freedom will be there, and those will be great opportunities to see some sculpture work. And with Angels of Freedom, you can actually get up there and get a selfie and look like an angel.
Excellent. January 11th through the 19th, Napa Lighted Art Festival, Art After Dark in downtown and in the Oxbow District. And thanks to our many guests, Pete, Katrina, and Meredith, and Ross, and Karen. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. A break and more to come on Wine Country Live. Hope you'll stick around.